in Acts 17, recording one of Paul's missionary journeys. He had gone into a town or into an area called Thessalonica, and you could go back and read the beginning of the chapter and what happened there. He preached, and just like what always happens with preaching, whenever you preach, it divides people, because there's people that want truth and there's people that don't want truth. And the word will divide among a crowd. When you start reading, that's why a lot of times people won't continue to read the word. Because when you read the word, it's going to deal with you. Have you noticed that? When you're reading the word, it starts messing with you. That's the way I like to say it. See, you should have got a clue right in the beginning. You know, in the book of Genesis, first four words, remember the first verse? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, think about the first four words. In the beginning, God. You see, he's a troublemaker. He starts everything. Okay? He sticks his nose in to your business. That's what he does. The reason I know that, because one day I was crying and saying, God, why does it seem like I get in trouble in all these churches I go to? Whatever church I'm in, why is it I seem to be a troublemaker? I said, I try to blend. I try to fit. I try to obey, do whatever. Why does it seem like I'm a troublemaker? And God said, because you're just like me. I said, no. I said, you're the neatest person I ever met. I'm a troublemaker. I'm asking, why am I a troublemaker? He said, because you're just like me. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, look at Genesis 1, verse 1. And I looked at it, and he goes, you see those first four words, in the beginning, God? He said, see, I start everything. He said, that's what I did with you. I even gave you a big nose so you'd stick in other people's business. You know? God has a way, His way, the perfect way. But our ways are not His ways. Isaiah 55:8 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. I want to talk to you today about something that I feel like needs to be talked about for a while. And as the Lord leads, we'll do that. But it's about how do you come to church? How do you hear from God? How do you walk with God? How do you go forward with God? How? See, we've all got a bunch of knowledge in our head about God. We've been in church. We've been in America. We've heard and know a lot of stuff. I could ask everyone in this room and about anything, and you would, every one of you would have an opinion. How do I know? Because I've talked to every one of you. You know? Everybody has opinions. What is Don's opinion better than Kevin's opinion? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. This is called responsive speaking, okay? Is Don's opinion better than Kevin's opinion? Is Wayne's opinion better than Leida's opinion? I'm asking. Is your opinion better than what God has to say? But we live like that. Shame on us. Shame on me. Let's have a word of prayer, okay? Father, you were stirring me up for this. I thought Sue was going to preach today. But you were stirring me up for this morning. And you had me looking this up. And you've been stirring me up for a couple of months now. I was told Brother Glenn said, one of these days, God's going to let me start preaching on about basically how to come to church. And so, Lord, today, as we just look into the Scripture, my desire is that you would come and preach, that you would come and you would open up your word, and that, Lord, you would fill it. Because, Lord, if I just speak, it's just words that I'm putting in people's ears. But if you come, there's going to be life in it, and you're going to go beyond our ears and touch down inside of us, our hearts, the very core of our being, our spirits, and add life. because we need your life. You didn't call us to be Christian encyclopedias filled with a bunch of knowledge. What good is it? How do you live it? Where's Christ living in you? Where's the proof? Where's the evidence in your everyday choices, Lord? Help us today. We need you to come and breathe. We need you to come and live. We need you to come, guide and direct every word spoken, maybe more important, every word heard. Today it would be about you, Jesus. We want to lift you up. We want to hear from you. We want to sit at your feet. Thank you, Jesus. What if I ask you to pray right now? What if I ask you to pray, God, I don't want to live in deception anymore. What would your answer be? Silence? Or, yes, Lord.
Yes.
I don't want to live in deception anymore. I want you to open my eyes. I want you to help me see what you want me to see. I want to be like Jesus. I want to think like Jesus. I want to see others from Jesus' perspective instead of just what I see with my eyes. I want to live your way, Jesus. I want to have your thoughts in every area of my life. No more deception. I break agreement with any deception. I only want truth. Is that your prayer? I only want truth. And like the kids would say, I only want Jesus living in me. I want no bad devils going to kick them out. No devils of deception. No devils of control. No devils of self-protection. God, no devils of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Pride, selfishness, doubt. Kick it out. Is that your prayer?
Yes.
Is that your heart? You just passed so we can go into the lesson. I'm giving you an idea here. Jesus, looking for me, and he found me because I was lost. And he wanted me when I was discarded. And he cleaned me when I was dirty. And he accepted me when I was lonely. And he included me so much so that he gave me his name. And from now on, I'm a baby Christian the rest of my life. I'm just a little Christian. And it's Jesus. There's nobody like him. And he loves you so much. He loves you whether you agreed with that prayer or not.
Amen.
He loves every single person on this planet. But when I look at people's lives, and God says, just back up and just watch. Sometimes I try to talk to people and they can't hear me because they're full. Sometimes maybe you've tried to talk to me and I was full and I couldn't hear. Please forgive me. I tell people I was born deformed, 2 miles, one ear. You know, I've been trying to learn to do this listening thing. And I'm doing better at it now than ever before, but I'm still not the best listener. My wife's like an incredible listener. But sometimes I go to tell people things and they can't hear. We've heard many things. We've heard many things here. Some of them have changed our lives. Some of them have opened our eyes. Some of them have been revelation. Some of them have been deliverance. But don't you want more? I mean, really, don't you want more? When Jesus saved me and brought me home, this is His home, you know, His house. When Jesus brought me to His house, and there was all these other people there in His house, and they all said that they were Christians. But they all called themselves Christians. And but when the preacher would preach, and you need to do whatever, and he took us right to the Word of God. It wasn't his opinion. He was taking us to the very Word of God. I thought we were supposed to do what he said. I thought we were supposed to obey this. He heard from God. God put us there in his house. He raised up somebody and said, I want you to lead them. And when he told us stuff, he took us to the Word. Every time he would say, open your Bible. Every time we ever went there, open your Bible. Open your Bible. Open your Bible. But as time went on, I noticed, and as I talked to people, many of them were not doing what he said. And I watched their lives, and it hurt me. It grieved me inside. And I said, why, Lord? I hope you could see today in Acts 17:11. I hope you could see some things. I just hope we could see some, okay? Acts 17, he had been in Thessalonica. He had preached. Some people followed. Matter of fact, we'll go and read that. Acts 17, start with verse 1. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, he went into them, unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. He would stand up and say, open your Bible. And then he would take them right to the Scriptures. In verse 3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed. And they consorted or hung out with Paul and Silas. And of the devout Greeks, the ones who were devoted, had devotion in their heart, not just attenders, not church hoppers, not looking for excitement somewhere, but those who were devoted to God, a great multitude, because it says, some believed, and of the devout Jews, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. Women that were in charge of things. But the Jews which believed not, see, there was two groups, those that believed and those that believed not. We need to take warning right here. Which group are we in? Those that believe, those that believe not. And it's not that one person's opinion is better than another. It's what does the Word have to say? When you come to us and you ask us questions and for help and counsel and whatever, do we not always take you to the Word? I'm asking. Do we not always take you to the Word? Do we not always say, here's chapter and verse, hears chapter and verse, because then you're getting it from God, not from us. I've told you, I'm not looking for Harveyites or Sueites for you to just be followers of Sue and I. We're just people that love God, and He decided to call us into the ministry. But there's many of you He's going to call into the ministry, and every one of you, He wants to be ministers. Because everywhere you go, there are people that need God. There's people in your family. There's your neighbors. There's your workmates. There's people that you hang out with wherever. And this is a place for you to get filled up with God, to get believed in, to get loved on, but to get trained in how to release God, how to minister. This country's in the mess that it is because part of the reason is because the church has not done what it's supposed to do. The church in general. It's not we're supposed to come and have a bunch of spectators and we watch the dog and pony show. We all get excited. Oh, I love Jesus. But how does it help our marriages? Why is divorce rampant? Why are kids on drugs and all the different things that are happening? Paul goes into this town. He preaches. He preaches Christ. And some believed, verse 4. Verse 5, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy. They took unto them certain lewd or base fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren, because they were looking for Paul, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down, these people have messed with our lives, they are come hither also. Whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people. And the rulers of the city, when they heard these things, and when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately, there's all kinds of stuff I'd like to talk about in there. There's all kinds. Notice, remember I told you there's like sheep and goats, Jesus said? Sheep follow, what do goats do? But, if you look at verse 5, but the Jews which believe not, there they are, goats, the unbelieving. They're butting, you know? They're interrupting. They're causing problems. They've turned the world upside down. I was just sharing with my son-in-law because he used to be a toolmaker. As a matter of fact, he oversaw a bunch of toolmakers, and he's very gifted that way. And I was talking about when I worked at a machine shop and how I would witness in this 200-man machine shop. And I was like, they would gather around me in gangs. And notice that's what they did. They gathered a company. They got people of a baser sort, and then they gathered a company. All these guys in this machine shop, when I was working there, they used to come and surround me in gangs and mock me and mock God and say all kinds of stuff and tell dirty jokes and all the stuff they did. If I ever found one by himself and just said hi as I was walking through the shop, they'd freak out because they were scared of me by themselves. So they had to travel in packs. And that's how demons are. They travel in packs. When we open ourselves up to the devil, it's not just the one thing that comes in, he brings in other things also, other antichrist spirits. You got to be careful who you open up to. So there's a lot of things I'd like to talk about. When you talk about Jesus, you're going to turn people's world upside down. But verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto another city called Berea, who, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. Everywhere he went, Paul's like, where's the synagogue? I want to go preach Jesus. Because they would say, does anyone have anything to say? And they had the Torah, and here comes Paul. Yeah, I want to use that. So like when I made a trip to Israel 2 years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, and we went over there to minister to the Jews, when I talked to them, I didn't take them to New Testament. They can't handle hearing New Testament. I took them to Isaiah, and I, through the Isaiah Interstate, and showed them Jesus, you know, showed them the way to God, the Isaiah Interstate. That's why I call it that, you know. You got to deal with people where they're at. When I talk to Jehovah Witnesses, I take their book. Here, hand me your book. And then I show them Jesus in their book. And then they don't know what to do with it. You got to deal with people where they're at. When we went to start our first church down in Texas, the people mainly were Catholic. And we knocked on doors. And instead of showing them my book, because they don't know who I am, I'd say, do you have a Bible? And they'd say, yeah. I'd say, well, would you get it? And I took them to their Bible. And I would show them how to know Jesus in their Bible. And we were able to help over 600 people to call out to God for mercy through the blood of Jesus and get to know Him in a personal way. Now, you know what? You got to reach people where they're at. Paul said, I am become all things to all men, that by all means I might save some. You're not going to be able to help everybody. You wish you could. But you're not dealing in reality. Verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now look at verse 11. These were more noble, had more character than those in Thessalonica where they had just come from. Why were they more noble? What's the title of this message? What's the title of this message? I said it right in the beginning. How to come to church. It could be how to come to God, how to walk with God, how to hear from God. But let's just say how to come to church. Now look at verse, I'm sorry. Let's look at verse 11. These were more noble. These had character. These had integrity. These were truth seekers. These were willing to see truth in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. What things? The things that were preached. When you've come here, have we not given you a notebook? And said, here, please write down notes. Please write down the verses that we say. Take them home. Pray over them. Read them 10 times each. When we talked about this, read them 10 times each. Ask God to open it up. God is a servant. Is Jesus not a servant? The master servant? And He is like a waiter. And He comes and says, and at the reading, He says, let me break open the Word of Life. Let me make little verses dance on the page to you. Because this is what I'm personally serving you today, Brian. This is what you need. That's why it's jumping up and down. That's why I want you to write it down, Brian. That's why you need to write it down. You need to meditate on that. I told you, there's all these different levels. You could write them on 3x5 cards and carry them with you through the day. And when you go to think of it, God brings it to your mind. Pull out the 3x5 card and look at that verse. God, why did you serve me this meal today? Why did you serve me this verse? Why? I've read this many times, but today it's dancing on the page. Why is it dancing on the page today? What do you have for me? Write them in your notebook. At the end of a month, you will look and you'll have nuggets. Verses that have been made alive to you. There's 1,189 chapters in this. You can't be thinking on all of it all the time. God has something that each one of you has a need. And He has things He wants for you. To help you in your right now life. In your marriage. Dealing with your kids. Dealing with your finances. Dealing with your sickness, your children, your pain, rejection, work, boss, America. God, Jesus Christ, is our answer. And if we look to Him, He will give us what we need. That's why He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I need to read this daily. Give us this day our daily bread. Meet my need. But we have to be willing to hear it. Look at verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. That word received means to take in fully. When you hear the word, it says they received it. They took it in fully. They welcomed it. They approved it. They accepted it. They received it gladly. How does someone receive the word with all readiness of mind? Do you have an idea? Go ahead. Oh, they have to come empty. That's what you were going to say too? So in other words, if our hand is already full, we can't get more, can we? We've already got our own opinions. Well, is what I think. Isn't that wonderful? You willing to lay that down to get what God has to say on it? I've challenged you on that. I'm going to challenge again. Everybody has a blackboard. Whether you are aware of it or not, you have a blackboard. And on your blackboard, this is where you make your decisions from. What's on that blackboard is your experiences, your beliefs, what's set in your mind, what somebody's taught you, what your mom said, what your dad said, bad experiences, good experiences. That's why you make the decisions you do. Where you make them from. We need to take our blackboard. I can't do it with that one. We need to take our blackboard and lay it at the feet of Jesus. And say, Jesus, all the reasons I make the decisions I do may not be true. And I'm willing to lay them at your feet. I'm willing to hand you the eraser to the blackboard of my life and invite you to erase what's not of you. I talk to women sometimes, and every man on the planet is horrible. Why? Because they had a bad marriage, they had a bad dad, maybe they'd been raped or molested by a brother or second brother or a neighbor. And now, every man in the world is bad. Of course, I meet men, and they'll say the same thing about women. Why? Because of their experiences. Because their mom was unhappy with a husband, so then what'd she do? She ran down, and now the girl grows up with a distorted thinking. Are you with me? Following what I'm saying? Why do we make the decisions? Why do we believe the things? Why do we do what we do? I want to bring my blackboard to you, Father. I want to lay it at the feet of Jesus. all the reasons I do what I do, I don't do everything right. I sin every day. So God, I have stinking thinking. I have wrong beliefs. I make wrong choices. I am selfish. I find myself hurting other people or caring only about me. You follow what I'm saying? And so what we need to do is we need to ask God, Glenn, we need to ask God to help us. I want to lay down what I think. It's okay, Tom. We got her. We're just going to love her to Jesus. How do we receive the word with all readiness of mind? One, we got to be empty, because if we're full, then when God goes to speak to us, we can't hear it, because we're already full. We've already got our own opinions, our own beliefs. What if I took you in your life, you pick a subject, and I took in your life and said, what does the Bible have to say about that? Do you love your wife? Do you honor your wife? I just met a guy the other day, or I didn't meet him, but I knew him, but I hadn't seen him in a while. I needed a battery for my truck, and I went and bought this battery. And he said, Harvey, guess what happened? I said, what? He said, I just got married. I said, congratulations. And he wanted to share that with me, and he was so excited. And I said, congratulations. They just got married, been married for like 2 months or something like that, whatever. And I said, he helped me with my battery, and we got a battery. And I got ready to leave, and I said, Lord, is there anything you want to say? He said, yep, tell him this. And I went over to him, and I said, you know, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I said, you need to treat your wife like a queen, not like a lot of guys do and treat her like Queenie. Here, Queenie, okay? I said, treat her like a queen. That means honor her. That means adore her. That means protect her. That means believe in her. That means over in 1 Peter chapter 3, around verse 2 or something like that, it says, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Maybe it's verse 6. I don't know. Somewhere over there. 1 Peter chapter 3, first 6 verses. The point is, how in all of this, what does the Word of God have to say about our life? Do you know? Some people are just following the preacher. But the preacher is just a saved sinner, just like you. He's not God. He might be the one that God chose. But like when people, God, I've said it about myself. I said, I don't know why I'm standing up here. Maybe it's because you wouldn't stand up here. Or maybe God got desperate and I was the last one in line. I don't know. But he chose to put me up here. Paul made it real clear in 1 Corinthians 11:1 when he said, be ye therefore, get this, followers of me, even as I also follow Christ. We're in Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things that they're teaching were so. How do you receive the word with all readiness of mind? Yes? Oh, somebody's been reading my notes. All right. Yo, you grew up in my house. That's probably why. You've only heard this about 5,000 times, right? Number one, we need to realize this is the Word of God. I don't know how many times I'm going to say it, but probably until they cut my head off. This does not contain the Word of God. This is the Word of God. Every word of God is pure. Proverbs 30, verse 5. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. I have magnified my word above all my name. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's the Word of God. How do you receive the Word with all readiness of mind? We talked about you got to be empty. If you come already thinking you know it, and the preacher's talking, yeah, I already know that, then you know what? You're sitting over there going, you're not getting anything out of it. What'd you come for? When I come, look, I've read this thing from cover to cover over 75 times. I've memorized thousands of verses. I went 9 years to Bible college. We started 10 churches. And I don't know nothing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You see, we are either operating in... Are you in the kingdom of God? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Is there anybody out there? Okay. Are you in the kingdom of God?
Yes.
But are you operating in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of the devil? Well, you think you are. But let's ask some questions. Are you operating in humility or in pride? Uh-oh. Somebody's stepping on my toes. I got to get off the floor. Are you operating in light or in darkness? Are you operating in truth or lies? Are you teachable on anything and everything? Or do you already got it all figured out? See, I've, as a believer, operated in the kingdom of darkness a lot. Full of pride. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, I believe it's verse 1 or 2, it says, knowledge puffeth up. And the more I learned about God, I got where I got the big head. And then when I went around the country preaching, everywhere I'd go, I'd give an altar call. You know, I'd preach. I'd say, an altar is a meeting place with God. If God's working in you, I said, you want to cooperate? Come forward. If you want to sit there and claim as your life verse, I shall not be moved. I said, enjoy it. Okay? But here's an altar, meeting place with God. You want to meet with Him? You just heard. Now, what are you going to do with it? And every time I'd give an altar call, the altars would just be filled. And then I started getting the big head because everywhere I went, God was moving. I'm just telling you. And then God said, so I started memorizing all these verses about pride. Pride go before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. You know, all these verses. God, I got all this pride. I don't want to be proud. I didn't understand about spirits at the time. I didn't understand about all kinds of stuff. I said, God, what do I do with this? I said, would you come break me? He's like, I was just waiting for an invitation, Arr. He says, let's go in the bedroom and have us a board meeting. You know? So we did. I didn't like it. But I like the results. This morning I told him when I was praying, God, I don't like what's going on in my life. But I embrace it. Because I want whatever you're doing. And I don't want you to let up. If you need to increase, do it. I don't care if I like it or not. I want you. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, after you've gone through it, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. That means those that cooperated with the spanking. So you can get a spanking and sit there and harden up. And it hurts more when you harden up. I'm sorry, I know, we don't spank anymore, right? Anyway, but You can harden up. Because I used to get a spanking every day of my life. I just thought that's how you grew up. I was amazed when I found out my friends didn't get a spanking every day. Or didn't get a spanking ever. But I got up in the morning, you got a spanking, you went to school. My dad had already told them at school, here's my card. And my son steps out of line, give it to him. And they used to spank in school, public school. And he says, and then let me know so when he gets home I can take care of it. So I used to get, you know, 2 or 3 spankings a day. I just thought that's how you're supposed to grow up. I mean, you think you got problems with me now. You should be thankful that I got all the spankings, that you only had to deal with this much. But you can stiffen up, and it hurts a lot more. Or you could just cooperate, and I deserve this, and just... And it doesn't hurt. It still hurts. But it, you know what? You gain something from it. Or you can rebel against it. What kingdom are you operating in? I dare you to write it down and ask God to ask you that question or show you the answer to that question. I dare you. I'm sorry. I double dog dare you. That's it. That's it. Need a pen? The dude's jumping for his pen. I love that guy already. He's cooperating. I like it. That's Willie? I haven't met everybody. I just keep hearing about all these awesome people coming here. God keeps telling me to stay out of here. Probably so the rest of y'all have a fighting chance. You could talk. You know? Acts 17:11. Please. How to come to church. How come we come to Grand Rapids, 50% of the population goes to church, and it's still like it is? I mean, it's better than a lot of places. I mean, I'm so glad when God brought us here from the other side of the state. Oh, I do not like Detroit area at all. It's like, Lord, please. I know I'm not going to hell, but I think I'm about as close as I can get while I'm on the planet. Would you please get me out of here? And then He brought me here. Or us here, and I'm so thankful. It's completely different. It's like night and day. I've had all kinds of people that have attested to that, that have come from the other side, because I deal with people statewide in my business. How do we receive His Word with all readiness of mind? Two people said, we need to get empty. You see, if we already got it figured out, if we already come full, if we're not coming teachable, then you're not going to profit much. Number two, what was the second thing you said? We need to know, enter into this, that this is the Word of God. This isn't the preacher's opinion. That's why I beg of you, please open your Bible. That's why God gave it to us written down. Not, well, that's just the way what he thinks he heard from God. Oh no, we've all got the same book. All you got to do is open it. Now what are you going to do with that verse? So look at Acts 17:11. These were more noble. These had more character than those in that other city they just came from. And the first thing they did was they received the Word with all readiness of mind. The word prepare comes to me on that thought. How do you receive the Word? It's okay, brother. He's just resting in the Holy Ghost. All right? Bless him, Lord. Give him what he needs. He's just soaking. All right? Let him soak. All right. How do we receive the Word with all readiness of mind? How about preparing before we come to church? How about preparing? How about let's go back to Saturday? What did we do on Saturday? How late did we stay up Saturday night? What did we do Saturday night? So I start preaching and you're like yawning. Sleep will cure that. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? I know I ain't boring you. Okay? Not if you're listening. I know I don't run around as much and throw things as much as I used to, but I know I ain't boring you. Here's what I'm saying to you. How do you prepare before you come? How about how do you prepare when you're on your way to church? You just had an argument in the car. You were just yelling at the kids because they're bouncing off the walls because kids, you know. Because, see, I take them back there, my wife says, and I get them all wound up and they become little me's. And then you have to deal with them. See, it's just helped develop you in, you know, your character, you know, and help your prayer life. So you have to pray for these kids. You know, that's why God had me influence them to mess with them so you can straighten them out and deal them and teach them character. I'm being facetious here. How do we prepare? How do we prepare when we're coming to church? I don't know if you remember, but when we were in our other building, we used to teach for a while about how to come to church in just this. When you come, if you're full of matter, you're worrying about your bills, you're worrying about, you know, you just had an argument, you know, you're worrying about this, you're worrying about that, you're thinking about this, you're thinking about, then you're all full of matter. When you come to church, on your way, before you even come to church, come and bring it to Jesus. Does Jesus care about you? Can Jesus handle it, or is it too big for Him? Then we need to bring Him all of our needs, all the things that our mind and our heart is occupied with, tied up with, and give it to Jesus. We need to bring Him our sin. We need to bring Him our needs. We need to bring Him our pain. We need to bring Him all of our busyness. We need to bring it to Him before we come to church. They receive the Word with all readiness of mind. Do you think that might would help? I mean, really, do you think that might would help to get more? So we got our hands empty. We are entering into believing that this is the Word of God. It's not another opinion, you know. It's not an American Bible, you know. Independent opinion. Everybody's got one. Let's do a survey. Who cares? The majority is usually wrong. The majority is on their way to hell. Why would we care what the survey says? I'm asking. How do we prepare? We need to bring all of our needs, all of our sin, everything, bring it to Jesus before we get here. We then need to invite Him. He always accepts an invitation. God, I want You. I'm coming to Your house, Your day, Your Word, Your man, Your spirit, Your people. I got a clue it's about You. So I want You, God. Would You open my eyes? See, I've already given You all my needs. You already said, I'll take care of it, Brian. I'm Your daddy, right? He's like, I'll take care of it. Now, You're open. Okay? Now, God, I want to lay down my opinions. I want to lay down what I think I know. Because I'm wide open. Here's my blackboard of why I make the decisions I do. I'm willing for You to take the eraser. Yeah, but preacher so-and-so, bishop so-and-so said this. Here, God, I'm going to hand You the eraser to the blackboard of my life. Anything that You say, God, is not true, I want You to erase it. It may be true, but it may have mixture in it. Part God, part man. Do you want the man part in there? Only God's going to know because you and I are in deception. So we invite God to erase what's not of Him. And then we trust God to give us back what is of Him. Good? I like it. He taught me this stuff. I just like it. Now we prepare. We open. We invite God. God, I want You. God, I want You to capture my attention. I want You to open up what You want me to see today. See, I can get through preaching, or my wife can get through preaching, and we could ask everybody as they're walking out the door, what did God give you today? He's going to say one thing. Lawrence is going to say something else. She's going to say something else. Everybody's going to get something different. Why? Because what is God doing in you? You're all individuals. God's doing something in you. That's why when the preacher says, "What? Do you remember what we preached last week?" You're like, "Nope, but I sure know what he's been dealing with me about." You see what I'm saying? It's not about trying to remember the sermon, because you don't need to remember the sermonizer. You need to remember the message. You need to remember the one who's giving the message, not this guy. Him. Remember? It's all about him. Did you see Jesus? Preparation. Are you preparing before you come to church? Do you think it would help you if you did? Why don't we make a decision today, God? I don't just want to be a hearer. I want to be a doer of the word. Otherwise, I'm just deceiving my own self. I already heard that, Brother Harvey. I already heard that. The only reason I'm saying it again is because I can't see it in your life yet. Some of y'all, through the years, have said, "Why do you keep saying the same thing?" I said, "You think this is all I know? I want to go forward." And God says, "They ain't getting it yet. So come at it again. Say it again." And so when y'all say, "Well, I already know," listen, blah, 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 blah. You've got it here. But did you receive it here? Because if you receive it here, see, there's head learning, there's heart belief. Head learning, you're still deciding if you believe it or not. Did I like what he said? Did I like the way he said it? Did I like his attitude? You know, well, does that agree with what my daddy said? Does that agree with what my last preacher said? But when you receive it here, it's like, "Lord, I want that truth." Now, that's where most Christians, I mean true believers, live. In their heart. But in Romans 8:14, it says, "They that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." How do we get the teaching from here to here to here? When you accept the truth, "God, this is truth. It doesn't matter what I see, think, feel, or what anybody else says." You want to hear that one again? "It doesn't matter what I see, think, feel, nor what anyone else says. This is truth. I receive the truth. Now, God, but I feel this, and I think that, and I experience this." That stops us from benefiting from the truth. So what do? When we receive it here, God begins a process. And he says, "Now what I'm going to do," he says, "let me be frank with you." Only kidding. He says, "Here's what we're going to do, okay?" He says, "Now that you've received it here," he says, "I'm going to begin to bring up what's in you that's not in agreement with truth. Now you have a choice. Am I going to continue to hold on to what I believe or what I feel or what somebody else said? Or am I going to receive the Word of God as it is, pure truth? I have to let go of this. I have to confess, 'God, this is what I've been believing, but it's not true. God, please deliver me from this lie. God, please reveal it in its entirety so I can get the whole truth. Please reveal this, because I want to break agreement with it. I'm asking you, Jesus, to pull that whole root system of how I allowed that lie inside of me and all the ways it's colored my life. And then I want you to even reach down in there with that little pinky of yours and grab the seed of where I've let that lie in. I want you to remove that whole thing. Now, I've got this deep V where that root system was. Jesus, would you please pour in, 1 John 1:9, would you please pour in your blood of forgiveness on the right side to forgive me, and then pour it in on the left side to fill up this void with your life, only you, Jesus, of cleansing me. Cleansing me from things that I thought were true before. Because I want to enter into pure truth. I want to live it." How do you receive the word with all readiness of mind? I've given you some ideas. Have you written them down? Have you prayed? Have you told God, even while we're talking, God, I want that. God, I want to own that. I want that to be alive in me. God, I need, something needs to change inside of me. I need you to change it inside of me. I need to begin to prepare. I need to begin to look at this book and the preaching differently. Not like it's an opinion. Well, that's just his opinion. Let's go home and have roast preacher. I'm going to roast him up good. Well, that guy, blah, 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 blah. I hope you enjoy your meal, you know. You'll probably get bitterness of spirit than me calling us for healing, you know. I didn't make this up. Are we preparing? Are we open? Is it the word of God or is it the word of man? Let me give you a verse. I'd like to give you a whole bunch of them, but I've talked too much. Maybe. Acts 2:41. Let's see. I'm not going to give you all these. Present for God. Commanded thee. Acts 11:1. Heard Gentiles receive the word of God. Job, Proverbs, Matthew. No, maybe 1 Thessalonians 1. I think it's 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Is that a neat verse? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. How do we receive the word of God? Because, is this the first time you've been in church? Raise your hand. Second time? Maybe it's your first year. That means you've been coming a long time. Not just here, but wherever. Did you ever read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2? You might not want to read it. Because it's going to mess with you. It says, for the word preached did not profit them which heard it. How's it go? Hang on. All of a sudden my brain, I'm trying to say it too slow. I can say it fast, but not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Thank you. Let's read it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. The gospel was preached. Remember in the first part of the story in Acts chapter 17? They preached. It says some believed, some didn't believe. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Faith is not just hearing the word of God. Oh, I got faith. I'm here and I'm hearing the word of God. Faith is moving on what God says. Faith is an action word. If there's not action with it, then you don't have faith. Nate, do you believe that that chair will hold you up? Yep. I believe. All right. You got faith in that chair. Yep. Does he believe that that chair will hold him up? How do you know? Liars will be friars. Romans chapter 3, verse 4 says, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. The only person I've ever met who didn't lie was a liar. Okay? I believe that chair will hold me up. Do you believe that chair will hold you up?
Yep.
How do I know?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I have faith. Where? See, I believe this chair will hold me up. Because I put my faith on the chair. You could believe in Jesus and go to hell. You can't believe on Jesus and go to hell. Is that in the Bible? I'm so glad y'all asked. James chapter 2 and verse 19. Are you there? You're in Hebrews. James is the next book over. James chapter 2 verse 19. Are you there? Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Are there going to be demons in heaven? Y'all need to read this book, because they ain't. Okay? Does he have faith in that chair? It also says in James chapter 2, towards the end there, show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. That's in verse 18. Yea, a man saith, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. He says that he believes his chair will hold him up. He can stand there all day. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I can get a mockingbird to do that. Does that mean he believes in Jesus? According to God's standards? I believe this chair will hold me up. I believe Jesus will hold me up. I'm demonstrating it. I am resting in Jesus. I'm believing on Jesus. I'm trusting on Jesus. I'm depending on Jesus. I'm relying on Jesus. Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. How do you come to church? Is there preparation? Maybe it needs to start before Sunday. Maybe it needs to start. Do you know how many services we've had? Wayne, Glenn, Rick, Tom, tell me. How many services have we had where an hour, hour and a half into it, it starts, seems like you break the ice, things start to move, God starts to move. What happened for the first hour, hour and a half? Because people were getting ready. They came full of matter. You know, people come, I'm trying to hear from God. People come, and they want to tell me about their whole week before service. I'm sorry, it's not the right time to come talk to me about your week. I'm available whenever you call me. I mean, I might tell you I have to call you back because I have a job that'll work, but I call you back. I'll probably call you by your name. But my point is, imagine, just imagine, what would church be like? I'm going to end on this. I think I hear the wheels coming down. I might be landing this thing. Okay? Imagine what church would be like if everybody came. They had already prepared the day before. That morning, they prayed. Well, prayed. Don't we have to have a group over there and we all hold hands? No. You can talk to them before that. Matter of fact, you ought to try doing that more often. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Okay, watch that. That's a deep verse. Pray without ceasing. That means, do you know why people don't pray? Because they don't believe he's listening, or they don't believe he cares, or they don't believe he's going to answer. But you see, I believe God moves at the sound of my voice. And I don't need you holding your hand for him to hear me. What if, can you imagine, what would church be like if everybody prepared the night before? If everybody believed this was really the Word of God instead of an opinion? What if, huh? What if people begin to pray the night before? See, there's things God wants me to share with y'all. We haven't even got to that point yet. I'm like biting at the bit, been waiting for a while. Do you know The secret of the early church, you've heard me say it, one accord, one place. I'm going to just give you a clue. What if we all prayed for the same thing? Dude, I can't even hardly wait. How are we going to turn this world upside down for Jesus when we're trying to do a million different things? We're all praying. We get together in that group and people want to start going off here and going off there and doing this. It's like, so I have to keep interrupting and coming back to, what are we here for? You remember the three things, the three goals of Burning Bush, this ministry? Do you remember? To know Jesus Christ personally, to live victoriously by hanging out with Jesus 24/7, and to love others to Jesus. Now, you can get all caught up in refrigerators. Yeah, I will. I'll come back. I see you, brother. I see you. I'm going to come in personally and feed you, brother. Okay? Watch this. I love this little hungry ones, you know? They're so cool. What I'm saying to you is, folks, this world needs Jesus. They don't need North American Christianity. They need Jesus. Do you understand? Don't you understand? Hasn't God moved through you and touched somebody? Has God done that? Now, if I gave you $100, would that be okay? Would you take it for that? Letting God flow through you? Would you just take $100 for that and just say, okay, I don't need God to flow through me anymore. I'd just rather take $100. Dude, when God flows through you, God, let these be your arms. And I just go to hug Him. And, dude, it's like He just like drinks that thing up. Because that's God. I've had that happen so many times. Driving down the road, God draws my attention to somebody. The thought comes to me, it's a homeless person, let's say, because he's done this. And God gave me the thought, Herb, would you loan me your body? He said, because I want to hug that guy over there. Would you just loan me your body? And I just pull over and I walk up to the homeless guy and said, Father said He'd like to hug you. And of course, they don't know what they think I'm from China or something, man. They're like, what? And I say, I want to give you a hug. Now, they don't even know me. Why would this homeless person get up and let me hug him? But they always do when God tells me. I can't just walk down the road doing it with everybody. I have to do it when God tells me to do it. But when I do, why do they receive it? Well, I don't. They have a need. I hope they see Jesus in me. But they have a need. And then I say, Father, let these be your arms. And I put my arms around them. And see, I believe He moves at the sound of my voice. And so when I say, let these be your arms, they just melt. They start crying. They start weeping. They start hugging me. They won't let go of me. You know me. It ain't me. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
I know that's right. You don't even have to put a verse on that thing. I know that's right. You know, I've met you. You've offended me without trying. Okay. I'm so sorry. That's the truth. But when I say, Father, let these be your arms. Can you imagine what church would be like if we all laid down our opinions, our feelings, our agendas, and just said, I just want you, Jesus. It doesn't have to look like what I think. It doesn't have to feel like what I think. I don't care. I just want you. Can you imagine? I mean, I'm not talking about just you doing it, Frank. I'm talking about Doris. I'm talking about Patty. I'm talking about Tim. I'm talking about everybody. Can you imagine Tim? Can you imagine Tim doing this? Well, what if it was just you? And then maybe me. And then maybe Janiyah. And then maybe Wayne. And maybe Brian. You think it might, like, catch on? Can you imagine what would happen? Can you imagine what would happen if we all prayed the same thing? And I don't mean say the same words. I'm talking about we had the same goal. So when y'all are all doing all your stuff and you're worried about the nursery and he's worried about the sound, the worship group, and he's worried about sound, and she's worried about everything under the sun, and Sue's worried about the resale shop and all of this, and God has me just keep bringing y'all back to, it's to know Jesus Christ personally, to live victoriously by hanging out with Jesus 24/7, and to love others to Jesus. This is our goal. This is where we're going to keep going. All these other things are just things God worked through to get to these goals. The goal is to love them to Jesus.
Yes, sir.
We don't have to have the best sermons, you know. Oh, wasn't that a wonderful sermon? It was alliterated. It had all A's or all S's. I used to preach that way around the country. Who cares? Is it about Herbie, the big shot preacher? Or is it about Jesus? Is it about a wonderful sermon, or is it about a wonderful Savior? Is it about what we know, or who we know?
We know.
Do you see what I'm saying? We gotta have this constantly put in front of us. But we gotta go back. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. God, I want to receive your word. What if everybody brought their Bible? What if everybody brought their Bible? When the preacher said open the Bible, everybody was opening their Bible. And everybody's reading it. Because faith comes by hearing the word of God. Receive the word with all readiness of mind. Let go of what we're holding on to. Invite him to erase on our blackboard what's not of him, to rewrite on the table of our heart what is of him, so we come into oneness with him. Jesus, you have given us the most awesome people. And Lord, I'm not disappointed or nothing with anybody. There's so much more. And I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for what you're doing. But I say, Lord, there is more, so please get us. Whatever it takes, get us. Lord, bring us to the end of ourselves and the foot of the cross. Help us to meditate even on that thought. They received the word with all readiness of mind. Lord, am I receiving it with readiness of mind? Am I preparing? Am I open to what your word has to say? Am I believing it's your word and not an opinion? Am I preparing ahead of time? How am I preparing? Am I praying? Am I coming into oneness with what you're doing here, Jesus? What you're doing. You could work through anybody. What you're doing, it's your house. Am I coming into oneness with you? God, may you burn this inside of us. May this word, please forgive my feeble, rabbit-trailed method of speaking. And I pray you would breathe on it, take the truth, work it in our hearts, that we would become truth seekers. We would be more noble. We would have more character, and not just be characters, but have character, integrity, honesty, be transparent and vulnerable, and allow your word to search us. Invite you to search us. God, we need you so much. This world needs you so much, and I just want you to be able to flow through each one of us to reach the people you've put in our lives, to bring this world to Jesus. We commit this time into your hands. We say, thank you, Jesus. We love you. Amen.